Good morning, and a very chilly welcome this morning. It seems like we're kind of back into the fall season. But a very special welcome to you, and a very special welcome to those of you who just might be visiting with us this morning for the first time. And we hope that you will find the presence of the Lord here this morning as we worship. To start off this morning, we have a few announcements. And we have on Tuesday morning, we have the Bible study, studying in Mark over at Faye's house at 9 o'clock. And then in that evening at 7 o'clock over at the Matheson's house. I guess I just got told by higher authority it's been canceled. The evening, yes. All right, thank you. And then on Friday, we have the Shady Oak Bible Study at 7 o'clock. And then in your flyer, we end up and have the Michael W. Smith a presentation over at Life Church in Fergus, you know, on Friday, May 3rd. And if you are, it's a free will, and it's a very good presentation. If you're able to make that, please make note of that. And is there any other announcement at this time? Oh, I forgot that. I guess I couldn't read this morning. We have a short congregational meeting right after the service this morning, so we encourage you to stay for that. It's concerning the air conditioning of the church. So we hope you can stay for that immediately following the service. So with that, we'll just wait for the ringing of the bell this morning. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning that you have given us. I love listening to the sound of the bell. It brings me back to Sunday school and confirmation. And just the sound of the bell brings me back to the calling of God's people around. Everyone around the area can hear, the bell ringing and calling God's people to his house and through his son, Jesus. Lord, thank you for a very blessed day that you have given to us. In your name I pray. Amen. And with that, our call to worship this morning is found in Psalms 119, 65 through 72. Do good to your servant according to your word, Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good, and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees. Though I was arrogant and have smeared with your lies, I keep your precepts in all my heart. Their hearts are callous and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. It is good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. Will you stand with me as we sing our opening song?
As we sing, Your Love is Deep.
Your love is hard. Your love Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Now that the Lord is God, it is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Please be seated and continue singing with us, Count Your Blessings.
Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved.
Thank you, ladies. That was very, very nice. Will you please rise and join with me in our confession of sin and faith? Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The good news of the gospel this Sunday morning is that Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. And now will you join with me in confirming our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The scripture reading this morning that has been chosen for us comes in the Old Testament of Micah. We read it in Jonah chapter 3. And I read this in Jesus' name. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going to a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne and took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation I issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, Do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw this, what had happened and how they had turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them his destruction he had threatened. And here ends the word of the Lord. It's customary at this time to go through some of the prayer requests that we have. We have several here in our congregation. We always look and pray for the people that are not here for God knows whatever reason. They're sick. They're struggling in some way. There's many health issues that have been going on in our congregation as well. And once again, I really want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting here the first time. It's wonderful that you have taken the time to be with us this morning. On one note, one of our church family members here, Dave Orhus, he's been here for many years, him and Kathy. And we know that Dave has been struggling with physical issues for quite some time. He was hospitalized once here just this last week. And he really is so thankful that his church family here has been praying for him and will continue to pray for him. He has had some tests done by his doctor that has not been done before, and so now they are getting to have a better look at just what is going on with him and how to treat him from here. So let's please remember him in prayer. Also here in our congregation, we have a couple very special members here. Over the last 2 weeks has had a momentous birthday, and we happen to have those two ladies here this morning. Should I say their names? Or Audrey, Colleen. They had turned a very milestone birthday, and I want to wish you Lord speed and continued prayers and health and whatever you do. They can ask your age later, okay? So thank you for all that you've done and all you mean to us here at church. Will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we have very special needs. And through you and through your Son, this is our hope. Through your Son, through his death and resurrection, we have hope. And Lord, I pray that his Spirit is with all of us today. I pray that he will guide us. I pray that he will protect us. I pray that his Spirit will comfort us and to give us strength. And I always remember that, and we should always remember too, that the Lord is always with us. We are never left alone. I felt his comfort many times in the past when I had health issues too. He is always there, and he does give me strength, and he does give me comfort. And I pray that we will always give a helping hand to those that need it around us, and to help spread the word that the Lord has given us as well. At this time, will you join with me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Sean.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to be back in Jonah here for Jonah chapter 4. If you are able to rise, would you please do so? So Jonah chapter 4, it's found on page 754. And remember, he just saw God relenting from the destruction. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I am so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" You may be seated. So now, having read through Jonah kind of a few weeks here, 2 weeks ago we read Jonah 2, and we talked a little bit about Jonah 1, and now we've heard Jonah 3, and we're looking today at Jonah 4. We've had the privilege to see what God is working here in these chapters, in this book. Yeah, earlier on, or 2 weeks ago, we kind of came to this conclusion, right, and saw just how good God's mercy is, right, how it pursues you even to the depths when you're in rebellion, right? That God chases you down there. He chases his beloved children to the ends. And that we're so tightly held in God's hand, and through that misery, through that trial, Jonah is brought out again, right? He's brought out, and he can say, "Salvation is the Lord's. Salvation is Yahweh's." Today, Jonah's pushing us past that, right? Salvation is certainly ours. God is certainly merciful to us. He also wants to see, or us to see, that mercy is not just for us, but it's for all people. There's a story, and I know I go to Lord of the Rings all the time, but bear with me. It just has so many good illustrations. In Lord of the Rings, there's these big tree creatures called Ents. And they're like wise and aged, and they even take a long time to talk, and that's supposed to give you this idea that these guys know what they're doing. These are trees, they've been around for thousands of years. They've kind of almost got eternal life. And they're in this forest, and while everything else is the darkness, the Dark Lord is, you know, pushing his armies, destroying the free peoples of Middle Earth, as it said, they're deliberating, "Well, should we help these people?" And they deliberate for a long time, considering it. And they come to the conclusion, no, we should not help. We should not help because none of these guys that are fighting are for us. And so we shouldn't be for any of them. And so in that, they're opting instead that they would just stay in their little forest and hope that all this just goes on outside and they can mind their own business and whatever happens, happens. Those guys never cared about us. We don't care about them. The two little hobbits, again, you have this kind of contrast here, these naive little hobbits, they're saying, "What? Aren't you part of this world? Don't you have a duty to other living creatures?" Brothers and sisters, we too are so often like the Ents. We're given this life, we're given many blessings, we're given even wisdom and knowledge, and yet so often we hide it to ourselves. We see the needs of others, we see the desires or the problems going out in the world, we see all the darkness. And because of the wickedness, and because often these wicked powers and even the wicked people under the influence of all these satanic powers are seen to be opposing us, we so often retreat into our little bunkers and refuse to go out. We have an understanding of God's grace for us that is so profound and it is so good. And yet we fail to see that God's mercy is supposed to extend beyond us. God's gifts are not just for us. And so Jonah's letter today is a rebuke, or Jonah's not a letter, this story is a rebuke to us. A rebuke to our lethargy, a rebuke to our apathy and our lack of concern and care for others. So let's just go through the context here a little bit, right? Jonah, remember he was going to, or he was commissioned to go to Nineveh, but he is like, "Nah, I'm going to Tarshish, the other side, the exact opposite way." Goes down, he tries to run away, but God is not going to let his little spoiled brat run that fast. He makes sure he sends a wind after him, right? The ship gets all knocked over. A lot of story happens on there. They cast him into the sea, goes down. He realizes he was wrong, and he gets battered up a bit there, and he's set back on land, and he's spat up by the fish, and I think the Hebrew word is quite funny there. The for vomit is yucky, so just take that one as you want, right? So he's humbled sufficiently at this point to realize, well, he's not. He at least knows he's not too much in control of what's going to happen here. He's got no options, and so he goes. He goes to Nineveh, and he proclaims this message. And we should be really careful to see what he's proclaiming here. And this is the message that God has given him. In 40 days, or yet 40 days, and the Lord will overturn the city. Bring destruction, the idea. The word is, in the Greek, they call it catastrophe. And we can see where we get our word of a catastrophe from that, right? An overturning. This is something big is going to happen. And this is what Jonah proclaims. And the people there, they basically freak out. So they trust this enough that they're like, okay, some deity, and I think we do, again, want to be careful. It just says Elohim here. It's God, and it might be, we maybe should understand this a little bit more vaguer, that they don't really know Yahweh here. They don't know all about God, and they just know some very, very powerful God is really, really, really angry with them. And they're probably looking around saying, yeah, there's probably a good reason for that. And they're now freaking out. They're running around. They're all getting, sackcloth and ashes. They're declaring fasts. And then as some part of this sort of, you get this sort of comedic overreaction where now the king, they're all doing this. They're fasting. And then the king is like, okay, guys, fast. They're like, well, put sackcloth on. We've already done that, sir. And then especially, right, we get to this point with the who knows, right? They have no clue that all this, pulling out all the stops, they're just hoping. Who knows if this will do anything? Who knows if this God will relent? Who knows what'll happen? Maybe he'll show some compassion. And we kind of are thrown back to the sailors. We didn't read that very carefully, but the sailors, before Jonah tells them about God, they're throwing everything overboard, trying to figure out how this is, calling to every god they can imagine. Poseidon, was that you? Zeus, please stop this. And so we see this kind of almost the same sort of erratic behavior here of these people.
We see also as they turn away from their evil for whatever reason, out of this fear, right? A fear of judgment. God is merciful. His mercy is so grand, so amazing, that even though they're sort of ignorant, even though they don't really understand what's going on, even though they don't have a sure confidence in the Lord, God relents from this disaster that he had promised the city. He relents from this destruction. And this really angers Jonah. This royally upsets Jonah. And I think we can judge Jonah at this point, right? We can be like, oh, look at Jonah. What an idiot. Like, he should know better. I mean, throughout the story, we could do that a few times, but we can get all holier than thou with Jonah, and we can think that he's just this particularly wicked saint, that something's particularly wrong with him. And there is. I'm not trying to take that away from that. But I think we need to really understand what's going on in Jonah to understand the situation and to understand how mind-boggling this mercy is and how this is why he left in the first place. Because he by no means thought the mercy of God should extend to these Ninevites. You see, Nineveh, in another book of the Bible called Nahum, is described rather brutally, right? It's a city of murderers, a city of death and violence. Nahum talks about bodies piled up in the streets. And this might be a bit of a poetic exaggeration, but when we look at the old reliefs of Nineveh, it might be an exaggeration, but it's not completely out of this world. They had a very morbid idea of decoration. They would take their enemies, dismembered, and pile them up, making towers out of heads, and I won't go too much further. It can get a bit grisly, right? But this is the city that Jonah goes into, a city with death, murder, hatred of their fellow man, a city who sends their armies out and brutalizes their opponents, utterly destroying other populations. It's a city of corruption and lies, a city of vile wickedness, a city where they worship false gods, and those gods lead them to wicked practices, right, that we've heard about in these pagan religions, right, where they do all sorts of vile things, such as sacrificing children and having temple prostitution and other such things. And so there's corruption. It is just this wicked city. And for us here, it's like, okay, wicked city, it's 3,000 years ago. We don't feel that, right? But for Jonah, he doesn't live that far from these guys. And he's seen what's happened in other areas where their armies have come. And he knows, and the truth is, very soon these armies will march into Israel as well. And so this isn't some kind of head game for him. He might be seeing those body parts, he might be seeing that and thinking, well, those might be my neighbors, might be my family, might be my friends that have been tortured and brutalized. It's not so easy to swallow mercy then. It's a hard pill for this prophet to swallow. It's not simply, well, he butted the line here. This is mercy to wicked people. And so Jonah, he didn't want this to come because he believed these people, if anyone, deserved judgment, it was these people. These people deserved the hammer of God to smash them to smithereens. He by no means wanted them to taste the mercies of God. And he's right. Right? 100%. They do not deserve the mercy of God. In no way they've earned this mercy. And they deserve the judgment of God. And he's wrong when he's angry that they've received it. He's wrong when he's angry that they've received it. And what about us, brothers and sisters? What about us? As this society that we're living in gets, I think, more and more tumultuous, There's more and more struggles. There's more and more trials facing our kind of Western world, right? I know my mind is in Canada a little bit more, but my brother, I was talking to him on the phone the other day. Right? He's a full-time carpenter. Can't find a place to rent. Right? Can't find a one-bedroom apartment to rent. It's too expensive. People start to become angry, bitter. Well, who's doing this to us? Who are our enemies, right? The RCMP, like our federal agency, sort of like your FBI, a little bit different. They said they had a report, and this came out in the mainstream media. I'm not pulling this out of some weird spot. They had a report that in 5 years, they're worried that Canadians, and this is crazy, if Canadians are getting this way, it's a problem. They might revolt because of a lack of hope and a feeling of hopelessness. And in these states, in this place where we feel threatened, and the place where we're feeling struggles, and we see sort of government actors and other peoples and different groups acting in ways that we think are hostile to our very existence, we see that they're acting in ways that seem to be evil or even pushing policies or whatever. It doesn't need to be lawmakers. It could be all sorts of things. They're doing things that are undermining our very lifestyle, our very existence. It is so easy to begin to be cynical and to hate them, to desire that those people who are doing this are done away with. They're destroyed and they're smashed. Well, then we don't know what spirit we're of. We kind of are missing something. We can see, yes, they might deserve judgment, but we should hope that they receive mercy. This is, we'll continue. So Jonah's sitting in the city, and as I described it right there, the people are confused. They're running around like crazy. They don't know. They're ignorant in their evil and their wickedness. And yes, in some ways, right, it's written on their hearts, the law of God. And in other ways, they're unsure. They're unable to tell exactly what's going on. They don't know, as we read at the end, their left or their right from their left. They're lost in darkness. And here is Jonah, a prophet of the Lord, the one man who is, in the sense, the light of the world here for them, the salt of the earth. He has the words of wisdom. He has God's truth. He knows God's holy name and his promises and his might and his power to transform lives, as has happened in his own case not that long ago. You know, what does he do with that? Well, instead of staying in the midst of the city, instead of speaking these words, he stays silent. He's the prophet, the one called to speak, who refuses to speak. And he walks out of the city. He leaves Nineveh and goes and sits. Sits in a stall or a little booth that he's created for him, a little shelter there, to watch what will happen. Instead of speaking life into the situation, he removes himself and goes outside the city. Maybe, in a sense, we could think of him grabbing his popcorn and just waiting, see what God's going to do to this city. Certainly hope that these guys fall back into their sin, fall back into their wickedness, and so that God can smash them. Right? We might not say those things. We often act in a similar way, aren't we, brothers and sisters, don't we? Brothers and sisters, when we see all the wickedness of this world, when we see the vile evil and all these different groups that are acting, of course, very sinfully. There's so many, and I'm sure you can think of different groups that are acting wickedly, and that we all, maybe on different sides of the political spectrum, we all have these kind of groups that we're thinking, these guys are just utterly vile. The racists, right? Well, they deserve God's judgment and it should be smashed. I hope they all go to hell. The socialists, the communists, I hope they get destroyed and get what's coming to them. But where are we? Where are we? Are we so often gathering together instead of running towards the sinners, instead of sitting amongst them, and not as some people have sort of twisted this to sort of affirm sin, but to sit amongst them and to dwell amidst them so that we can speak the words of life to them, because we're the only ones that have it. We're the ones who have the gospel. We're the ones who know God's will. We're the ones who know about righteousness and goodness. And these other folks, wherever they find themselves, are lost in darkness. And yet so often we remove ourselves. We go and hide away, and we hope that in our institutions, in our own little houses, that we will be safe from the wickedness that is outside. And yet time and again, we find that that wickedness follows us inside too. It doesn't. We don't stay safe. We don't stay sanitary when we run away from the world. God has called us. God has called us, yes, not to be of the world, not to even associate so closely with sinners that we start to take them on as friends in the sense that we start to emulate them, but certainly not that we remove ourselves so far that we never speak to them, not that we put up barriers between them and us as if we deserve mercy and they do not. But thanks be to God that He does not leave His spoiled brat child here to be upset. No, the Lord is good, and He follows His Son again. He follows His Son again because He does not want him to stay there. And so we see the Lord provides this leafy plant. Whatever that is, it's a plant. We don't need to stick on that. Right? He provides this leafy plant. He causes it to grow up. And our text here says he gave it to shade his head to ease his discomfort. A little bit of a, yeah, I think we can see pretty quickly the easing of his discomfort was not really his intention, as the next day he gets rid of the plant and blasts him with the sun and hot wind. God's not too concerned about our comfort. No, and the word here, right, the word discomfort, what it really is ra'ah, and Hebrew just has less words, basically. And so it's evil. And instead of ease, the same word there can be to save. And so we could translate this, and yes, it does protect him from his discomfort, but we could also understand this as it is to save him from his evil, from his wickedness that is within him. And so he grows up by his providential hand, his sovereign hand. He makes this little plant grow up beside him to offer some shade to Jonah. And Jonah's like, yay, plant! This is awesome! Look, maybe even God's happy with this whole thing of sitting out here. I just got a nice plant. I'm shaded, it's cool. My little watching destruction come down on Nineveh booth has got all the better. And yet God does not let him stay there. And the next day he provides a worm to cut this plant down, to cut this blessing down, to wither the plant. And then as the sun rises, we see God's providential hand again, his sovereign hand moving to make the winds, a scorching east wind, blaze upon Jonah, right? And this wind and this storm, we understand, we don't really, I don't even, well, maybe here, I haven't been here too much in the summer, but I think the Middle East, we could all get this picture that it's hot. And I read in a book, right, that when these winds come, everything scatters and hides. There's nothing outside. And so here's Jonah getting blasted by this wind, being subject to blazing hot heat. And he says, oh, it would be better for me to die than to live. Right. He's in misery here. And we can see that in his heart, he's upset that this plant has died, which was providing him so many good things, so much blessing. And God said, well, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Is it right for you to want to be so upset about this plant? And Jonah says, well, it is. It was a nice plant. I have every right to be angry. I'm so angry that I wish I was dead now that that plant is gone. And I think in part, God's not playing a trick question, right? The plant was a great thing. It was a good thing. And Jonah could be blessed by that, right? And we can see all our temporal gifts of the Lord are good things, great things. But in trusting or in putting our hope in that or looking into that and taking anger in these temporal things, we miss something far deeper. And this is where Jonah gets trapped by the Lord. He gets trapped by the Lord because the Lord here points out, right, that you have concern for this plant. You have concern for this temporal blessing of yours, this short-term thing that I have given you that you didn't labor for. You didn't make it grow. It was a blessing. It was a blessing of my own hand to you. It sprang up overnight, and I took it away. Well, Jonah, that might have vexed you. That might have upset you. Even brought you to be so miserable. Well, should I not have concern? Should I not have concern over this great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 souls, which I formed in the wombs of their mothers, which I clothed and fed as they were children, on whom I have sent rains and fortunes, who I have blessed, these ones that I have created and labored over? Should I not have concern over them who don't know their right hand from their left hand? Jonah, my son, should I not have concern over these people whom I love? And we see here, brothers and sisters, God's mercy is for all mankind. It's for all men, and it's for all those in whom we struggle with and even struggle against. That God wants all to come to salvation. He wants mercy upon all His creation. He desires that we, as His children, go and speak those words of mercy. Go and show them the way of light. Go and show them the truth. Because they are important to God. And we see the radicality of this, right? The man in Nineveh who did the barbaric acts of dismembering people, right? It is absolutely wicked. Is it not? Does it disgust us that someone would do that? Of course. And it upsets God's heart too. But He still says, my son, please come back. Please turn from this wickedness so I can have mercy upon you. He doesn't want that child who's led astray to go off the cliff. He doesn't want them to be judged and to go into judgment. Brothers and sisters, should we not have the heart of God too? Have we not been shown mercy by the Lord? And should we not go forth then and speak mercy to those who are our enemies, those whom we strive against? Brothers and sisters, I am a fervent patriot. I love the West, you know. I see all these things. I love them so much, you know. I think the West has been a great blessing and our institutions are great. But when I start to love those things to the point that I hate those who hurt others, who might be damaging those. When I love those things so much that I want those other people to go, let's just say it, to hell at the end of the day. Am I not wicked? Am I not astray? And we don't have to be stupid about this. Maybe that's not the right. We don't have to be foolish. We can see problems. We can see issues. It's good. It's right. It's good for us to see that there are issues. We don't have to be blinded. We're called not to be hard-hearted. We're called not to abandon our fellow man. So is it right, brothers and sisters? I think this is the question that God wants to leave us with. Is it right then when we sit still and watch our fellow man run in darkness, run towards their doom and their destruction? Is it right? Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate those words. And it shows us all the love and compassion and concern that our Lord and Heavenly Father has for all of us. Will you please rise and join with me in our closing chorus? after the service that we have our congregation, a short congregational meeting. And also we have a very nice lunch in the basement, and you're very welcome to stay for that. It smells wonderful. Our benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.